Good morning. Today we continue our series in John's Gospel. And this morning we come to John 10, verse 10, one of the best known verses in all of the Holy Scriptures. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. This declaration follows the healing of the blind man in John 9, where the Pharisees claimed to see, yet rejected Jesus, the light of the world, standing before them. Into that atmosphere of spiritual blindness and religious hypocrisy, Jesus speaks about shepherds, sheep, thieves, and doors, contrasting false leadership with true salvation and death with life. John 10:10 places a clear choice before every person who hears it. There's the way of the thief, stealing, killing, and destroying, and there's the way of the shepherd, giving life, fullness, and salvation. There is no neutral path. Jesus begins with a sober warning. The thief does not appear by accident. He comes with a fixed purpose, destruction. The Lord uses three powerful verbs, steal, kill, and destroy. And the order is deliberate. First, the thief steals, then he kills, then he destroys. It is a steady path of escalating evil. Deception leads to violence, and violence leads to total ruin. Jesus is not speaking only about obvious criminals. He's speaking about religious deception, which is perhaps even more dangerous because it is far harder to recognize. These thieves include religious leaders like the Pharisees who replace God's grace with man-made rules and place heavy burdens on people rather than pointing them to Christ. And behind them all stands the ultimate thief, the devil himself. In John 8, verse 44, Jesus describes Satan plainly. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Satan deceives in order to destroy. From the Garden of Eden onwards, he has not usually destroyed openly at first. He lies, twists truth, and makes sin look harmless. But deception always ends in death, that is, alienation from God. Jesus' warning applies to anyone who teaches salvation by good works or religious performance, any way other than faith in Christ alone. And the thief's work is not limited to religion. The devil promises wealth and tells you it will make you secure, but wealth never satisfies the soul. He promises pleasure and tells you it will make you happy, but pleasure always leaves the soul impoverished. He promises that sin will set you free, but sin produces nothing but bondage. Satan is a liar, and every promise he makes is a trap. The thief always takes more than he gives, and in the end, he gives nothing at all. After warning us of the destroyer's design, Jesus immediately turns our eyes to his saving purpose. Into a world marked by danger, deception, sin, and death, Jesus declares, "I have come." Those words are filled with meaning. His birth was not chance. His death was not a tragic mistake. Everything about his coming was intentional, redemptive, and life-giving. In John 12, 27 through to 28, Jesus said, "For this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." In other words, Jesus did not drift towards the cross. He purposely walked towards it. Mark 10, verse 45 declares, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." A ransom is the price paid to free captives. Humanity was held captive by sin, guilt, judgment, and death. Jesus came to pay the price for our release. As Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 1, verse 15, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, not to improve them, not to educate them, but to save them. In saving us, he defeated death itself. Hebrews 2 verses 14 through to 15 tells us that through death, he, Jesus, destroyed him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and released those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. What looked like defeat was actually victory. What appeared like a tragedy became a triumph. Where the thief steals, the shepherd gives. Where the thief strips away, the shepherd supplies. Where the thief brings ruin, the shepherd brings redemption. And because of his sacrifice, salvation is secure. No enemy can snatch Christ's sheep from his hand. When Jesus speaks of abundant life, he's not offering luxury, wealth, or trouble-free existence. He's offering life as God designed it to be lived, filled with his presence, his peace, and his purpose. In John 17, verse 3, Jesus defined it himself in his high priestly prayer. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Eternal life is not merely endless existence in heaven. It is a living relationship with God that begins now and continues forever. To know Christ is to know God. To trust Christ is to come to the Father. This abundant life is relational, spiritual, and present, not merely future. It is not measured by possessions, but by the fullness of the soul. As 1 John 5, 11 and 12 declares, God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. False teaching reduces abundance to money, health, and earthly success. But abundance is not having everything you want. It is having Christ and finding him sufficient. That is why the believer can say with confidence, like King David, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The Greek word translated more abundantly speaks of life overflowing beyond necessity, life beyond imagination. It begins the moment a person comes to Christ and will only be fully experienced in the glory yet to come. John's gospel opens with the declaration, in him was life. And near its close, in John 20 verse 31, the scripture extended this invitation to all. These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but Christ has come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Do not follow the thief. Come to the shepherd. Trust Christ today and receive the life that only he can give. Until we meet again next week, may Christ bless you greatly.